thank you for that. Welcome back to this show, coast to coast, border to border, around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. Very happy to welcome back to the show Tony Miola, World Cup vet, a centurion for his country, 100 caps. Tony, is that kind of cool that it's not 101? I know you'd like to play that extra game, but isn't it nice to be right at 100?
Or the centurion word just makes it sound really old.
Yeah, well, especially you being Italian heritage, that's kind of cool, a centurion.
It is kind of cool. Look, it's sort of a landmark, right, in international soccer. And, man, I can't believe I had the opportunity to do it now that I sit back. When you're going through it, right, most athletes that I talk to, they don't realize what's going on because you're kind of just training every day and going through it and doing really the only thing you know how to do. And then, of course, you one day can sit back and, reflect on it a little bit. And, man, it's kind of cool. So thanks for bringing it up.
No problem at all. And, of course, I saw you play in person many times. I was at that 4th of July game at Stanford, the Leonardo Ramos game, I referred to it. But, anyway, let's talk about this last World Cup real quick. By the way, Tony is here to talk about Good Hands FC. Working with Allstate, and they're going to surprise a soccer clinic in Portland. We'll get to that in just a second. But talk about the World Cup a little bit. Germany deserving champions, I think, obviously. But the game against Belgium, Chris Wondolowski with a chance near the end of regulation to put it to bed. And you know, as a guy who played this game a long time, a striker, even if he plays 90 minutes, just might get that one second, that one little opportunity to do it. And I feel bad for Wando as a Bay Area guy, but what do you think about Landon Donovan, who I think obviously should have been on the team, saying that he wished Klinsmann would have really gone for it? He didn't like how the lineup was so stacked defensively and not so marauding or more audacious offensively.
Yeah, so a couple things. Yeah, I would hate for Wondolowski's career to be defined by that one moment, right? It's probably, and you know what, to be fair, I'm not sure anybody's career in any sport should be defined,
like
Bill Buckner
defined, yeah.
Right, he shouldn't be defined by one moment, because you don't play that long and get judged on one moment. But unfortunately, that's kind of how sports is. I think for Wando, the key is that he gets back on track, obviously, and continues to score goals at the club level. And I've heard people say, "Well, that's the one moment that he was brought to the World Cup for." I don't know that anyone's brought to a World Cup for one moment. Could he have sort of made a name there? Probably. Look, he's done a great job in the league. He's put himself in a position that he's a premier goal scorer in the league. He got himself to a World Cup. And let's face it, for Wando, anyone, and you guys up there followed his career, he wasn't given an easy path mm-hmm. to the national team by any stretch of the imagination. Man, he had to work his tail off, and he had to really earn his stripes with Jurgen Klinsmann, and he did it in the end. And to do it for a guy who probably has more of an eye on strikers than any other position on the field, you know, just by the nature of where Klinsmann played. Mm-hmm. It's a credit to Wando. So, look, it takes courage, man, to do what he did, and I give him credit for him. I don't judge him, and we shouldn't on any one play. I what this national team did moving forward here, I think is going to bode well for the inclusion of some of these young guys. And of course, in Wondolowski's position, is probably one where we're going to see the inclusion of some young guys moving forward. So I think we're on the right track here with the national team and how it relates. And we've got to find a way to just kind of continue this saying. I don't know what it was like in San Jose and in the Bay Area there, but my guess is it was as crazy as it was everywhere else in the country mm-hmm. with all these watch parties and the support for this team. So it's really cool to see.
Well, and by the way, speaking of Tony Meola, when I hear rumors that DeAndre Yedlin might have been going to Roma, you know, when Tottenham played Seattle, maybe to Tottenham, for MLS, you don't want to lose that guy. But for the national team, you want that guy to go over there. You want the guy like a Jovan Krovsky to go to Man United. You want the guy like O'Brien to go to Ajax. You want these guys for the sake of the national team. And look, MLS will be fine. I know a lot of people say, oh, no, we got to keep our youngsters. But I think, no, go to the school of excellence. There's nothing against MLS, but go to a better league, play against better competition, get better coaching. I, as an American, would love to see Yedlin go to Serie A.
Yeah, well, I'd like to see him go to Serie A. For me, I'll just give a brief, my stance, a brief take on it is wherever he thinks he should develop, I think that's where he needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
And he has this opportunity, but there are some other examples of guys. Matt Beisler, right, has had the opportunity. Graham Susi, guys that feel that they can develop under Peter Vermes. And I know Jurgen sort of with a broad brush kind of painted the picture that, you know, everyone needs to go to Europe to challenge themselves. You know, this is a challenge for some people. And in DeAndre's case, I think it'd be good. He's at the right age. He could be at the right club. But having said that, if he goes to Roma, which is one of the latest rumors, right, or wherever he goes, mm-hmm. We found out in the past from the Freddie Adus. We found out from Josie this year at Sunderland. We found out from Breck Shea going. Juan Agudelo initially. Now it's changed a little bit. If you don't play, you don't develop. And I'd rather him go to, if you're just talking about pure development, I'd rather him go to Holland, someplace where they have a history of developing players and a history of bringing them through a system and then selling them and get playing time and learn, because I don't care where you're at. I'm just a believer that you don't develop sitting on the bench, you know, at any club.
Yeah.
Training's not good enough anymore, because training all around the world is intense. It's as intense here as it is any place else. It's as regimented here as it is any place else in the world. We probably train in a lot of ways a lot more intense than some countries around the world, but you got to go and develop. Look, Landon did a pretty good job over the last couple of years. And don't try and convince me that two loan spells for 4 months was the development of Landon Donovan. You know, the development was here. And, I think there's just different ways to do it, I guess is what I'm saying. And I hope for him, because it sounds like he wants to go, that he gets to go to a good place for him.
Peter Vermes, your former captain, by the way, there. A little mention for Peter. Yeah, and Landon, the two stints at Bayer Leverkusen, and I think those were mostly he was just homesick that he came home those first two times he tried it in the Bundesliga. We're speaking with Tony Meola, and I looked on the bench during the World Cup, and there I saw Andreas Herzog, the former Austrian star, and I didn't realize that the goalkeeper coach was Chris Woods.
Chris Woods.
Yeah, great England goalie back in the day. And you mentioned training, and I remember going to a game at White Hart Lane. It was Man City and Spurs, and I got there really early, and I got to see David James, it was about 10 years ago, get a workout before the game, and it was amazing the workout that he got just before the match. So when I think about Chris Woods and him working with Guzan and Howard and Nick Raimondo, the vet, what is it besides just the regular thing that we can all sort of put you guys through, the drills, what are some of the things that that goalie coach works on with you?
Yeah, so this is a huge talking point in the U.S. all the time, is goalkeeper coaches or trainers and goalkeeper coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, Chris Woods is a goalkeeper coach. He's been through national teams. He can coach you through periods of the game. Look, everyone, we can all train, right? And I helped Tab Ramos with the under-20 national team as a goalkeeper coach. Slash trainer when I go there, but then when I'm with Hugo Perez in the U15s, I'm an assistant coach, but I try and also lend a little bit on the coaching. I don't do any of the training with the goalkeepers, but we talk about periods of the game. You know, this is a time you should speed it up. This is a time you should slow it down. Then we'll go watch videotape from the game and say, hey, this is a movement here maybe that you can work on. And I've had some great trainers. but my best goalkeeper coach was a guy that couldn't shoot a ball over 60, 70 miles an hour, and Milutin Saskic, who was the goalkeeper coach on the 94 team, 98, and I believe 2002, if I'm not mistaken. He may have been gone by 2002, or he was kind of bumping up against the tail end of that. But, you know, this is a guy you could talk to. He, in 1968, he won the goalkeeper of the World Cup for Yugoslavia. And this is a guy you could talk to and say, hey, Tony, you know, we're 1-0 at halftime. You know, this is the kind of ball that you want to play out. This is the kind of guy you want to make sure you got cover for when you communicate. So there's more, for lack of a better term, there's more coaching going on, right? So when you get Chris Woods, and keep in mind, Chris Woods says it was at Everton when Timmy was there. That was his goalkeeper coach. Chris Woods went with David Moyes to Manchester United. David Moyes let Chris Woods go at Everton to all the national team stuff. So this started in 2012, I believe, and when he went to Manchester United, it became a little bit more difficult. So Chris Woods missed a couple of trips, so they brought some other guys in. Casey Keller was in for a little while. Jeff Kassar was in at one point before he was the head coach of RSL. And then, of course, David Moyes was let go, and Chris Woods had more time because he also was let go at Man United. So it's a really important relationship, and you can see the benefits of that when you see a performance like Tim's.
Okay, very interesting answer. One more question before we get to Good Hands FC. MLS, what I don't want for that league is to be like the NASL and be a dumping ground for old guys. And when Frank Lampard, of course, still has some tread on the tire, he signs with brand new New York City FC, but because they're part of Man City, I think they kind of manipulated the league to get him back on loan for 6 months. I know they did the same thing with David Villa when they sent him to the Australian League. Do you think the league is being manipulated, or do you just think, oh, well, that's just the business of the offseason?
Yeah, we talked about this quite a bit. I think it was it's a little bit strange for me just from a standpoint as I'm not going to be used to seeing Lampard in any other jersey, although he did play prior to
West Ham.
I just remember him in a Chelsea jersey. And you know, I think this is the position that Manchester City is in. They sent Villa, as you mentioned, to Melbourne. I thought that's what they were going to do with Lampard, but, you know, he got himself back to the EPL. I agree. He's got a couple of years left in the tank, and had apparently some pretty big offers. But you're right. We can't go back to 97, where we were bringing in guys that you know were at the end of their career. We're becoming a different league, and it's a challenging league, and you know travel and heat, weather, and all of that stuff. It makes it really difficult with some guys. So hopefully we continue to bring the right type of player in, and we continue to grow that way, and also we continue to grow the American player as well. And I think that's the direction we're going, but we got to be convicted to that.
All right, very well. Now, I know you're working with Allstate with Good Hands FC, and it's a pretty cool thing you got going on. You tell us more, Tony.
Yeah, so in a nutshell, I've been doing this for 4 years with Allstate around U.S. men's national team big matches and a lot of big matches in MLS. And so tonight, somewhere in the Portland area, we'll surprise a team already set up. I generally don't know the team. We'll go in, we'll barge in on the practice. They do a huge activation, signs and banners and all kinds of stuff around the field, so the kids feel really special. I'll come in, be part of the training. And then at the end, eventually what it comes down to is we give the kids everything they need for the next year of soccer. We've got brand new home and away uniforms, track suits and bags and balls and everything they need. Goalkeepers get full kits from Allstate, and the coaches get all the training gear they get more training gear than I would imagine, a half a club could use. And then ultimately we give them a ticket to go to the game tomorrow night. We give them two tickets each, actually. These are generally kids that wouldn't have the opportunity if it wasn't for Allstate. So it's been a really cool way for 4 years. I do eight events a year, and every single time I got to tell you the response is the same from the kids, and I go home personally. I go home feeling pretty good about what I was able to be part of, and Allstate should be commended for as well.
Well, I think it's an excellent thing what you're doing. I like how you give back to the game, as a lot of your teammates do from the 90 and the 94 team. And finally, just on a more humorous note, hopefully for you as well, is that I was talking to a guy who's talking about some of the great mullets on those teams. And
Did I win?
Well, he said Balboa won, but the thing about Cello, Cello doesn't win because...
I've lost to him a couple times.
Well, yeah, but he put his in a ponytail. That's not a mullet.
Yeah, no. See, that's automatic disqualification in the mullet heaven. I'll tell you that.
All right, very good.
I've lost to him, but that was back in the day.
All right, hey, listen, Tony, it was great talking to you again. Love picking your soccer brain, and congratulations on everything you got going on. And can't wait to have you on again, buddy.
You got it, man. Anytime. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much, Tony Meola, one of the great keepers in U.S. history. I'm Rick Tittle. Get on back.